Before I begin, just a personal word to say thank you to all of our leaders, Jeannie and the others, who helped putting together a very successful all-church retreat at Cedar Kirk last weekend. And it was a wonderful weekend. We had a great number of people present, and one of the joys they had was in the Saturday. It was on Saturday morning, doing canoeing on the Alafi River with a little drizzle of rain. They thought that was just magical to be out there in the rain. And Saturday afternoon, the skies opened up, and it was just glorious. It was beautiful all Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday morning also was a beautiful time. And Dan Jeffrey had a message on grace at our time of worship on Sunday morning, and I was able to administer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and all came present. And just a very memorable morning and a memorable weekend. And I can't say enough good about the retreat that we have at Cedar Kirk every year, and that the women have in the new year, and that our youth are going to for the fall fusion here soon with youth from other churches. And Cedar Kirk is just great, and you all know that. The message this morning is the second in a stewardship series on giving freely and wholeheartedly. We have our dedication Sunday of our gifts for the coming year on November the 10th. On November the 10th, for those who are new, we come forward, we take our pledge cards and place them on a table in a basket, and we'll have the baptismal font will be open for those that would like to touch the waters of the baptismal font and make a recommitment to Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. And so that will take place on the 10th of November. And so the messages I'm sharing just now are in preparation of coming forward and making that commitment on November the 10th. And the message for this morning is entitled, More Than Just Words. And there are two scripture readings. The first I'll read from the little letter of 1 John in chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Listen now for the word of our Lord to us. Verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And then in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, I'm reading the first five verses and then jumping to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Let us pray as we come now to the message. O Lord and our God, we thank You for Your Word to us. Grant that the Word You speak to us this day from the Scriptures may take root and grow in our hearts, and then bear fruit to Your honor and glory in our very lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I want to talk for a little bit this morning about the power of words. The power of words. Words can be powerful tools. I want to list some of the ways in which they do just that, that we see on a regular basis. For example, if you watched some football yesterday, you learned and you know this, that a football coach can take a team of players who feel defeated at halftime, give them a pep talk through a number of words, and they can go back on the field and be renewed in spirit and come back from behind and win. Now, sometimes that pep talk must not be so great because some teams I watched yesterday did not come back and win. But words can be powerful. A military officer can bark orders, and they bark them, and it can bring out, in an odd way, the best of men and women in service to their country, especially under that particular commander. Some of you have experienced that. Sometimes the preacher, even with the scriptures, the Word of God, the preacher can use the words to strike fire in your soul and your spirit and help you to feel renewed, and that's a good thing when that happens. On occasion, a teacher can do this. A teacher can awaken his or her class with the recitation of a poem or telling about a piece of history in an inspired way, and that encourages the students to see new possibilities in the world even today, to have a new vision. If we go back and remember Martin Luther King Jr., he stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and he said those great words, "I have a dream." And he helped all people, even us today, to know that we can be bound together as brothers and sisters, people of all sorts of color, and be one people and accomplish great things. Words can give that kind of hope and offer that kind of a vision. I'm fascinated that John F. Kennedy, when he was president, he made Sir Winston Churchill, the great prime minister of Great Britain, an honorary citizen of our country in 1963, after Churchill had died. He said of Churchill that he mobilized the English language and sent it into battle. If you haven't seen the movie that came out a few years ago, The Darkest Hour, about the life of Winston Churchill, I encourage you to watch that movie. During the Second World War, Churchill praised the civilian firefighters who put out the flames in London from the German incendiary bombs. And Churchill called those volunteer firemen over the radio, he called them those heroes with grimy faces. And those words he chose endeared those firemen to him. And history has remembered and celebrated Churchill's radio broadcast to the British people during those darkest hours. One speech in particular still lives on. He said in one radio broadcast, "I have nothing to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." And he continued, said Churchill, "We shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and on the streets." And then he said it, "We shall never surrender." And he inspired all of Great Britain to thrive and to come together during World War II. He was militarily outclassed and reeling in defeat and retreat. And yet his words helped. They were so powerful and so inspiring. And the point, the most important point this morning to relay to you, is that you and I have that same ability through the words that we choose to use. We have that same ability to influence as well with our finances, and that's important to remember during this stewardship season. Words can comfort, they can support, they can offer encouragement, especially when done so in the Spirit of Christ. Affirmation through words and actions, they matter and they're important in our day and time. On the other hand, we remember, at least I do, as a child, saying that rhyme. You may know it. It goes like this: "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me." And you know what? We were wrong. Words can hurt. Words can harm. Someone has written, "Words of hate leave footprints in the mind." And those footprints, I believe, last for a long time. Do you realize that the Bible has more to say about the use and abuse of our tongues in speaking, it has more to say about that than about the use and abuse of sexuality. How about that? There is power in the spoken word. It can build up or it can break down. It's important to remember that in the coming week in our lives and beyond that. We think back when God created the world, we're told in Genesis that God did so with a sentence. He created the whole universe with a sentence. God said at the very beginning, "Let there be light." And there was light that shone immediately in the darkness. And from those syllables, "Let there be light," there was light and darkness and hope for life. God's word, you see, calls forth action. It invites action. It invited action then, and it does even now in us. God calls each one of us to consider our level of giving for the coming year, to make a pledge for the coming year on Dedication Sunday, out of gratitude for all that God has done for us in a word. But as powerful as words are this morning, I want to say a few more things about them. Words, we have to admit, at least humanly, they fail us at times. There is a woman I knew in another church community who had an awful habit of saying when she spoke, after every couple of sentences, she would say, "Do you understand my meaning?" And she would speak a while, and finally she would say, "Do you understand my meaning?" And it became this awful cliche when visiting her. It was a painful experience to go and see her and talk with her, "If you understand my meaning." She knew that it was hard to communicate, and she wanted to be clear about what she was saying. And that's why she would do that. She wanted people to truly hear her. I wonder if people understand even the difficulty in preaching. There's a great difficulty in it. It's terrifying, I can tell you. After 33 years, I still am terrified by the act of preaching in some ways. It causes anxiety to think about what I will do in the next 6 months or say at Christmas or some other time. But the goal of preaching is to tell the joy of the gospel and of God's grace and of God's hope to a broken world. And that's worth doing. I find it's a love-hate thing. It's a wonderful thing when you know what you're going to say. It's an awful thing when the week rolls around and you can't find the word sometimes. Words are often, I find, so fragile. They're so ineffective in trying to communicate, especially in preaching. And pastors often miss the goal and not being as effective as we can be. I remember some time ago, I was on vacation in a large city. And I went to a church. I wanted to hear the big city pastor preach in this large city. And what I discovered was the minister in that big city church was profound, was well-spoken. He gestured perfectly. He hardly used a single note. And after the service, I stood out in the hallway and listened to people's comments. And I heard one lady say to the other, "Wasn't he just wonderful?" And the other lady responded, "Yes." She said, "But what do you think he said?" And the first woman replied, "I don't know, but wasn't he great?" One point has explained that this way: the highest and the greatest cannot be spoken. Words, you see, have limits, which is why sometimes in worship we have to act it out in a drama. It's sometimes why in worship we have put on the screen an image, a piece of art, a painting, or a great photograph, or why sometimes we play it on an instrument at the cantata time at Christmas, or we sing it, because words have their limits, and sometimes you have to just sing in order to communicate what you feel and what you believe about Jesus. Consider with me, there's also a deception that takes place in words. Words can be powerful in this way. Some speaking that is done in our day and time is not always honest or straightforward. Now, I think you know that. I think you know that from listening to the news hour after hour during the day. And would you believe me if I said this morning, with any side on a political issue, presidents past and present, with political leaders in both parties and present, known on occasion to twist truth, would you believe that? How words are powerful. Point: Jesus does not twist words. Jesus does not meet the word in terms of who God is or what God does for us. There was purity in Jesus Christ in his word because his word matters. And that's what clarity of the head, the tongue, and the deed. When all the same harmonious, that's purity and who Jesus was. Then there are also silence. Silences between people where word should be. How many fathers and sons and daughters, how many relationships have ever crossed lives because words of loving are not often unheld? Story of the humorist, this Bob Orban, he tells it from the flood days, and this is the conversation that took place. How are things, son? Good. How's the food? Good. They've always had football. How are they doing? Good. Have you chosen a mate yet? Yes. What is it? Communications. Words are important. All this morning. It's that Jesus is the Word of God to us. That's what gospel reading had this said. Word became flesh. The Gospel of John. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's because God's ultimate mission is God's ultimate Word to listen to him. Let me underscore how Jesus is to us in several ways this morning as I close. Jesus is God's Word. That muddy the truth again about who God is or does. It shows us that God, like a loving parent, he can come as we did this morning, both as a community, individuals, to God as if we're taught to. And when we unfold our heart, God, wonderful things take place. Closer to God, we can experience in God's forgiveness. Robert, nuclear scientist, he said once, "The idea wrapped in became flesh. God wrapped up the idea in the person. God's clueless. Secondly, Jesus' word, which is to say, talk can be. Some people make word a substitute for do that in a minute. You ever heard that in a minute? But as my mother used to say, with her hands on her hip, she would say, actions speak words. And if I had done something wrong, apologize, she would say, come over and a hug. But this is the active word, talking to you. Third is a saving word. It is to our rescue at heaps. Perhaps you remember hearing these lines about God, Savior. Third words, but find them helpful. It's a quote that goes like, our need had been for an educator. If our greatest need had technology, God would have sent us. Our greatest need had been to have us an entertainer. But it was worth love, and so God sent us a Savior. Up that eye and sent it. And his name was. Let me mention that Jesus is hope, a hopeful world. He is an encouraging, pessimistic time, both in our nation and our world. There are so many protests, debates, awesome. And it is Jesus who is that hope word during this time in our world. Jesus is a relevant word for today. And the reason hope is all of the promise of action, assurance that we have a living Lord. The word is alive and is among us. And he assures us that's not the end. Good word that we need to hear. I wonder with this story, girl. She was prayer. It's a prayer that is used. Many of you know it. If I should before I wake, pray the Lord. And she was praying that prayer in a point. If I should wake, pray. She had a moment of inspiration. And then she, if I should before I wake, and then with a smile, said, we'll have breakfast with Jesus. You see, when we believe that Jesus is just a, the one who becomes among us, she can go from here with hope. Let us pray as we close. Oh, our God, as we consider purity in our heart, minds, and our tongues and deeds, may we in the stewardship season consider King of Philly and wholeheartedly back to you for all you have done for us. Give us grateful hearts, we pray, so that we might reach out and be your ambassadors world. In Christ's name, we pledge to do so.